In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I share my reflection with everyone. So here at YASC, we were talking a lot about, or our theme was to stand against the tide. And we talked a lot about the tides, and I just wanted to share the things that I learned in regards to the tides and how to overcome, as well as our fellowship and a few encouragements. So we learned that one of the tides is to love ourselves. Like nowadays in the world, there's this trend to love ourselves and to pursue our own achievements, to pursue our own pleasures. And there's also this current tide that I wasn't really aware of before YASC, this tide of, I guess, leaving the church or to doubt or to question the church sometimes. So hopefully we can all continue to reflect upon these tides and to know what to do when we are facing these tides. And some of the ways that I learned to overcome these certain tides was directly from Noah. And for Noah, he was able to get through the flood by remaining in the ark. So for us today, hopefully we can continue to remain in the church so that we are protected from the worldly trends. And I think another thing that I learned from Noah was that he had support. He had his family. So when he was building the ark and when he went into the ark and he spent all the time in the ark, he wasn't just by himself with the animals, but he was there with his family, with his wife and his sons' wives. So for us today, hopefully we can take some time to strengthen our bond with one another. I think at YASC, we all had a good time to fellowship with one another and to be able to meet new people as well as get to know each other a little better. So hopefully after YASC, we can also continue to support one another as we are remaining in this spiritual arc. And lastly, how to overcome some of the tides mentioned during YASC. During Bible study this morning, one of the sisters mentioned to have faith in the church and have faith in God. And I think for us today, how to have faith in God and how to have faith in the church is to really be rooted in our doctrine and to really understand who we believe in and what we believe in. And I'd also like to share a little bit about yesterday's fellowship. So during yesterday's fellowship, I took the role of a false prophet. And actually, I didn't look at the answer key beforehand. So I was just as confused as everyone else. So I think something that I learned from playing that role of being a false prophet was that sometimes we can be unintentional false prophets if we ourselves are confused. So I think that is an additional reason why we should be grounded in our doctrines and grounded in what we believe in, because if we are confused ourselves and we don't know the answers ourselves, then we can unintentionally lead other people astray as well. And something that I also learned from yesterday's fellowship was that really these false teachings or these false prophets can even come up in our church or even be in among our circle of friends. So regardless of whether someone has maybe graduated from NYTS or whether someone is very fervent in serving in church, we should all really take the time to reflect upon how much we believe the doctrines, how much we understand and know the doctrines, so that we can not only stand firm in the tide, but be able to, in a way, push back as well. So lastly, I'd like to share a verse that we read this yesterday morning. It's in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. So we read this yesterday during Bible study, Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. It says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." So just as an encouragement for us leaving YASC, let us continue to stand firm. Individually, let us continue to pursue spiritual cultivation on a daily basis, and let us continue to support one another so that as the teachings mentioned during the lessons, we're not only standing firm alone, but we can stand firm together, and we can know what God has commanded for us, and we can do according to what God has commanded us, just as Noah did. So this concludes my sharing. May all the glory and praise be unto God's name. Amen.
Before we begin, let's bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. So, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I share. So, I really thank God that I could be here for YSE this year. And so, this event answered two questions for me. And this first question is, what are the types of tides that we face today? And so what I realized from this event is that tides can refer to more than just the philosophies or cultures of the world. Tides can come from within us. They can be idols we've built up and failed to tear down, sins that no one knows about, or even ourselves and our accomplishments. So YASC has really heightened my awareness of the way that these trends can subtly creep into my life and little by little uproot the anchor I had once firmly rooted in God. So this leads to the second question. If these tides are so strong, how can we stand against them? And the most important thing I realized throughout this event is that we don't have to stand against these tides on our own. God never leaves us to face our challenges alone, but instead invites us to cast our cares upon him and to rely on him. And the best way to stand against the trends of this world is to center our lives around God and to really make Jesus the Lord of our life and to submit to him completely. When we live a God-centered life, we will walk with him. And if we walk with God, we will understand what is more valuable as we begin to see things from God's perspective. We will remember that how the world sees us is not as important as how God sees us. So having just entered my first year of college, being open with my faith has been both an interesting experience and a challenge. Having to tell my roommate that I have to pray and explaining how I have to go home every weekend to attend church services were all steps that took me out of my comfort zone. However, I really thank God that he paved the road for me and gave me a roommate who has been accepting of my faith. And this has slowly built up my confidence to freely pray, read the Bible, and even have fellowships through video calls. This for me has been what I would consider a rather small tide, and I can already tell that even for such a small tide, great faith is needed. However, I am determined to keep building up this faith as I keep God and his commandments in my heart as my life guiding principles. So before I conclude, let's turn to a few verses. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And then let's also read verse 37. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." So if we keep God always before us, if we can truly put him first in our lives, before school, before work, before our own desires, and if we can anchor our faith in his word, we will gain the strength and the courage to stand firm, to stand strong, and to never be compromised. Though the tides that come are big, let us remember that our God is bigger. So this concludes my reflection. May all the honor and glory be unto his holy name.
Okay, so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I say a few words on behalf of Irvine Church Council. So really thank God that you all could come to Irvine Church, and we really thank God that you allow us this opportunity to serve you. And if anything during the YSC did not meet your expectations, please let us know and we will try to tweak it for next time, although I don't know if YASC will be here next year because we're trying to move it to another church. But in the future, anyway, please come back, and especially for those who drove from far away from Phoenix and, you know, Canoga Park, San Diego, we really appreciate the love, and we're really moved to see that you want to take away, basically sacrifice your holiday weekend to be here with us to learn more about how to stand against the tide. So I have just one verse I wanted to share with you guys. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 5, and 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 5, and 6. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So what I take from this verse is one ingredient that will help you to stand against the tide is to be very self-aware, being very aware of who you are in Christ and your identity, to know that whenever you have an inkling of an idea that wants you to be tempted to do this or to follow this type of philosophy or whatever it is, the tie that is in your life, that you can come to God to ask him to help you get through that really difficult point where you're almost feeling like you're about to fall off or join the tide or be conquered by the tide. And it says here, just like it says in verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God. So just like when you take a fly swatter, the most instinctive thing you do is that you want to squash that fly. So while that might be unkind to some, but it's just the instinctive nature that you want to, you know, get rid of that thing. So I think that is the same kind of mentality we can have in our spirituality. And even if we cannot squat it right away, we can ask God to help us to have the strength, courage, and the patience to help us to get through that time. And yeah, please come again to Irvine, and we're really happy to serve and really happy to see everyone and hope that we can keep each other in prayers.
I would like to use two passages for our final encouragement before the end of our young adult spiritual communication. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good rewards for their labor. Verse 10, if they fall, one will leave his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls. Spiritually, how can a person fall? Oh, because of the tie, worldly tie, or the culture, secular culture. And behind the culture is Satan. Use a very tricky and a very sneaky way, try to sway our faith away from God. So very easily we will fall under this kind of tie. So what can we do? Two are better than one. So spiritually, we need to have a spiritual friend, just like Daniel. He has three spiritual friends. Always pray with him. So in the church, we need to have a spiritual friend. We always encourage each other, always pray for each other. So two person prayer is better than one person's prayer. And then two also can refer to what? Your marriage. If we marry a non-believer, spiritually we are alone. So the letter part, woe to him who is alone. Because when we fall, nobody can encourage us. The spouse cannot lift us up because they have no faith. So most of us, we are in the age of considering marriage. So it's very important, critical important. We have to marry in the same faith. So two will be better than one. Two joined like one body will be stronger than only one person. so we can walk together in the heavenly journey. And then in verse 12, though one may be overpowered by another, and two can withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. Before we get married, what the three means? Three proper means what? We and our parents, right? Three, if you have a sibling, it's four. One may be overpowered, but threefold or fourfold or cord cannot be quickly broken. So every family needs to have a watchman, watch over their spiritual status. And a lot of times, because our parents are too busy to earn a living, to support our needs. So spiritually, probably very weak or just laid back. So we become a watchman of our family. So what should we do? Encourage our parents, our siblings. Every day, we spend time together to pray for 15 minutes. Even though it's very short, do you know? Every day we pray 15 minutes. The whole year, how many hours do we pray? 365 divided by 4. Because 4 15 minutes is 1 hour, right? 1 year, how long do we pray? Who has good mathematics? This is a very simple one, right? Every day 15 minutes, one year, how long do we pray? 91. Can you imagine? Even the NYTS, we don't pray 91 hours, right? It's long. So when the whole family keep on praying together, you're going to see the family life gradually move slowly, right? Move into the spiritual direction. And our family becomes stronger to stand against the tide. Probably our parents turn on the TV all the time, right? The watery tide come from the TV, brainwash. But we can turn it around, invite the parents, let's come and pray, right? And read the Bible. So three or four is unbreakable. It can be your family before you get married. This is the first message. I would like to encourage you. The second message, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. You know, a lot of people try to have happiness or have a lot of fun. So every weekend they have to either travel outside the town or they have to engage some kind of activity. But here talk about there is joy which can fulfill our heart. It's free. And when we have a very joyful life, yes, you can enjoy happiness in the world, but even there is no happiness, the joy never disappears, because joy comes from God, the abundance of God. So where comes the joy? If we read the verse 3, joy comes from fellowship. So the second point, I want to encourage everybody, when you return to your local church, build up or strengthen the fellowship among the brothers and sisters. How can we help the people or prevent the loss of the members like in your age? Sometimes it's very difficult, right? But one thing is very, very effective and very powerful is to create a group which the same age people can fit in. And that group can be created through fellowship. So fellowship is not only activity. A lot of people have wrong concept. Let's climb the mountain to a fellowship, right? And from the first minute until last minute, never talk about anything about God. Or that's a ping pong fellowship, that's a 水饺 fellowship. This fellowship and that fellowship, a lot of fellowship, are very busy in fellowship, but spirituality just stands still. This kind of activity provides us opportunity to interact. In the time of interaction is the time for fellowship. And fellowship is God-centered. We share our thought, our inspiration from the Bible, and the prayer, our personal experience, the grace of God, and through this kind of mutual sharing or testimony or concern each other's life or pray for each other, the bond can be strengthened, can be built up. You know, if a person fit into a good fellowship, the good fellowship maybe have 5 people, 10 people, and the person build up 5 different kind of bond, right? It's difficult to get lost. Because the bond is so strong in the church. So if we are in the campus, good fellowship is really important. Sometimes we look into NYTS or young adult college youth spiritual convocation. Which group the attendance rate is highest? Always come from the campus fellowship, who has a good fellowship. If the good campus fellowship, the attendance rate almost 90% or 100%. So the campus fellowship is so important, so crucial. We have witnessed some of the members who have weak faith because joined of campus fellowship, the faith has been revived. So how can we stand firm against the worldly tie? Two are better than one. Three are better than two. Four are better than three, right? And 10 people form a good fellowship, then nobody will get lost. 10 stand together with the abundance of God. Never have one been been eaten up by Satan. So this is my final encouragement. When we go back to our local church, strengthen our fellowship. That will be effective to stand against the strong tide. So we are going to have our last prayer. Let's pray for each other, strengthen each other, so we can walk in the heavenly journey mightily, and eventually we all can reach to the final destination. So a lot of times, after 1 year, 2 years, you see some people disappear from the church. It's very unfortunate. We try to prevent nobody disappear from the church until the end. We reach to the end. So we are going to have a final prayer, the concluding prayer. That can we all come forward, and then we pray together, and the minister will lay hand on us, so we can be strengthened to fight good battle for the Lord. Let's come forward and pray.